Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. Thinking about some things that I've heard this last week and weeks following or before. Talking about how many suicides there has been, and especially after through the COVID and all that, and talking about the suicide rate, and the discussion of suicide is always very delicate place. If most everyone in here probably has been affected by it in some way or another. It brings probably nothing that I can think of can actually touch you like that can when there's a loved one or someone that has taken their own life. It brings in a lot of feelings. It touches you in a psychological way that I don't think anything hardly else can touch you like that. It brings in the question, in many people's thoughts, not only this life, but the next. It touches you in questions when you're close to the person, many times, what could I have done? Or is there anything I could have done? It can bring guilt to people's lives, especially when relationships were less than perfect. And there is a lot of, like I say, it's a tender area, and I don't want to ruffle anything about that or anything, but it is serious because it touches into the idea that, I'll say this about it, I know that there's a mental illness involved in it, or there can be, and there's a lot of things involved in it, but in my mind, 100% of how it's used, it's 100% the devil. Okay, the devil is 100% in it. I can debate about the other aspects about it and a lot that I don't know. And surely it's in God's hands. And we serve a loving, great, mighty God. And there's no doubt about that. But it is no doubt in my mind that the devil's in it. Because of the very nature of it. If you look into the scriptures, you'll find where the devil was involved in people's lives and possessions, and where the devil, the spirits was there. One of the key things that the devil did was self-harm. The legion had so many, he sat in the tombs and cut himself up. I mean, he was hurting himself, and the young man that threw himself into the fire and do that. It was always trying to hurt themselves and do that. It's the very nature of the devil. Now, how it involves into this, I don't want to get into all that, and surely there is. I do accept the idea that the mind is also an organ of your body, just like your heart is, and your heart can go bad, and your pancreas can go bad, and your kidneys can go bad, and your brain can go bad. Those kind of judgments we can leave to God, and what the person's, but it does touch the hereafter, and it's one of the things I want to express today. We've known many people that's hurt very much by this, and it is something that I think the devil is more and more in our society taking advantage of with the idea, and really is pushing God out of the idea, and there is an idea in hurting people's lives that I can get out of the hurt, that whatever's beyond this has to be better than this is. That's another lie of the devil. That's not, we believe that we are created in a way that we will always exist. This is a scriptural idea. We will always exist. You are never going to not exist. You are going to exist somewhere for eternity. So I want us to consider that what we do in this life is represented in a way that is fleeting for a reason. Because it is compared to eternity. This is why it is so important to what we do in this life, because there is an eternity. We are going to exist somewhere. I remember the times that I went, my grandpa on my mom's side killed himself. It was different than him just dying. He was an old man, but it was different than us getting the news that, grandpa passed away in his sleep, or that he died of a heart attack, or anything such thing like that. What he done shocked us. It done something to us, but he got to the point in his life that he believed that whatever was beyond the veil was better than what was on this side of the veil. That's not true. It's not always true. So I want us to think about this. This is my message today. I want you to think about something. How valuable are you? What do you think about yourself? What value do you have? You know, it's not contradictory to believe you're worth something, and if you do, you're not humble. I'm going to say again, I've said this before, the opposite of humility is pride. It is not self-worth. It is pride. Pride is what we try to get, not to say I'm valueless, I'm worthless. No, you're going against God to say that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? God puts a great value to you. You're worth something. You're worth a lot. According to the scriptures, you're worth more than anything else of his creation. Not just you, but it's the way we look at, it's the way that we should look at our fellow man. We never look. The Bible says that the Bible puts a real punishment to the idea of looking at your brother and calling him a fool. Well, that word's interpreted bad, but probably, but it means to say you look at your brother and say, Reka, you're worthless. You're worthless. You're not, there's nothing, no worth to you. No, there is great worth to your brother. There is great worth. You may look at someone staggering around that's high on drugs or drunk or somebody that it seems like a detriment to society, and they are. And you may look at them and say, they're worthless. No, they're not worthless. They have a soul. You have a soul today that makes you very valuable. The people that are killing themselves, doing all that, they're looking at themselves as worthless. They're looking at themselves as being able to end this. Many of them believe there's nothing beyond this and nothing is better than this. To not exist is better than the existence that I have. Or to go to something that I don't know what realms it is. Maybe I've just become a light beam or whatever the belief system is that it's got to be better than this position here. Most you younger ones don't know, but the older ones know well that Mike Wheeler was a part of this and stuff, and he ended up killing himself. He was I would work with him every day for years, and I mean it was a part of his life and part of his life, and there was nothing that could have happened or he could have done that shocked my consciousness like what he did. It's went with me for years. That he got to the place to say, whatever's beyond this is bound to be better than this, and took that position, but he was worth something. But he was valuable. Today, don't ever look at yourself as not valuable. God loves you today. God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this time of life here can get miserable. It can get hard. It can get discouraging. But you're valuable. You're worth something. So there's a passage of scripture I want to start with in Matthew 16th chapter. Very familiar. We've quoted it, heard it, preached on it many times. Starts in 24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you know what? That doesn't sound real appealing for this life. The appealing statement in this life was, is come into the sunshine where the flowers are blooming and there is no pain, no hurt. Come and follow me and you won't have to worry about not being able to pay your bills. You won't have to have pain in your life. You won't have to go through those kind of things. Come and do that. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus is a realist. Jesus is going to deal with it the way it is. In this life, come, follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. That cross is not just to carry around, folks. That's not to brag about, to say I got a cross. There's a reason for a cross. There's some self-denial, a lot of self-denial in this. But this is Jesus' word. Take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what if a man profit? For what is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, I've thought about this question many, many times that Jesus is saying here. What would it profit you if you gained the whole world? You ever think about actually gaining the whole world? Is y'all's bed comfortable? Mine is. I know you guys, some of you may have the same kind of mattress. Some mattresses Marty got from Snowshoe. Best mattress we ever had. Everywhere I go, we go to other places, we get saggy mattresses, or we sleep wherever we do, or maybe on the floor in our journeys, or whatever it was. But my mattress at the house is a good mattress. I mean, I like getting in bed. And if I had the whole world, I can only sleep in one mattress at a time. And I just assume it'd be that one. My point is that you gain the whole world. What does it profit you really to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? What value do you have in doing this? And then this is the big question. And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll say it this way too. After service, Lord willing, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat lunch. And I can only hold so much. I really see the limit of my life really quick. That I am blessed. I eat the foods that I like and enjoy. And I enjoy life that way. I have my fire going at the fireplace. The house is going to be comfortable. The food is going to be good. I have a place to sleep. I've got the shelter. There's people everywhere across the world. And it wouldn't do me any good to own property over in Europe and every place else. It wouldn't profit me. I'm trying to say that it wouldn't profit me. I can only get in one vehicle. That's a good one I got. I'll get in it and drive it. I can't drive but one. There's benefits to having some things. Well, my point is that we look at these things sometimes and we put more truth than it is. So here's the question. What's valuable? You're valuable. Your soul is valuable. It's why we're taught in the scriptures, we'll take care of our lives, our bodies. We'll make it comfortable. I sleep in the mattress. I eat the best food. But I got something more valuable than all of that. You have something more valuable than all of that. To feed, to take care of, to make it what it should be. You have a soul. My soul is in my hands. My soul is something I need to take care of. So he asked this question. What would a man? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This question is a question that I think about quite often. And this is the way I think about this question. I don't think until you get to the point that you've lost your soul that this question becomes relevant. Because I say this because I look at the world around me and I say, they don't give anything for their soul. This question is what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. For the most part, people don't really care about their soul. I say that'll be different when they ask the rich man, lift up their eyes in hell. Then ask them the question. Then this question becomes relevant to their existence. Now, You never give anything in the life that you live for your soul. But what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Now that you've lost your soul, our point for saying and doing these things is that you take the time now to consider your soul. Then now is the time that you would say, is this that I'm about to do worth my soul? Is the decisions I'm making in life worth my soul? If I'm going to be... Folks, it happens. It happens every day. About an average of 47,500 last year, somewhere along that line I think it was, people died in automobile accidents across the United States. 47,500 of them. Sometimes we know them. Sometimes in a very quick way, it happens. It can happen to anyone. It can happen in the spur of the moment. We can be reminded of these things. I'm glad we have a God, but it still can be happening. God can call the number. So the decisions we're making is very important about that. What would you give in exchange for your soul? That would become very relevant at that time in our life. I want us to think about it before that happens, and I want us to understand something. You have great value to you. Jesus died for you to show that value. You know, through the whole Bible, in the Old Testament Bible, God said things and people can't relate to them very well. And so God sent His Son so we can relate. The greatest story ever told was that Christ died for the ungodly. Because God loves us, how can you know someone loves you? Would you believe it if somebody just said, I love you, there's nothing else to make me think that at all, I just love you? How deeply, how much do you love me, how much do you know? No, God gave us something that we can absolutely know how much God loves us. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His life of suffering and sacrifice to die on a cross because He loves me. So now I can get a hold of that. How much am I loved? How much does the Lord love me? Enough to die for me. I challenged in my own love sometimes, in my own mind, when I think I love somebody, the question that I ask myself is, yeah, I can say that I love them, but do I love them enough to give my life for them? If I give my life for them, maybe I can shut my mouth for them. Maybe I can reach my hand to them. Or maybe I can open my wallet to them. Or maybe I can do a kindness to them. If I love them and I can say I would give my life for you. You're valuable. You're valuable to me. I love you. You're valuable to me. Would I die? I think about it often, and I can say this by God's grace and help. There's people in my life that I absolutely would die for. I look at them sometimes and say, and know that if it was between them and me, I would step forward and say, no, I will give my life that they might live. That's what Jesus did. He loved us enough to step forward and gave. So you're valuable today. The things that we go through in this life are not meant to bring us to depression. That's the devil. The things that's in our life is not to bring us to a point to say that this life is bound to, whatever's over there is bound to be better. No, those things are made to bring us to a place that we need God so much. It's made us to a place that we understand God wants to work with us and bring us to this place. Lord, I'm empty. I need something that He can feel. That's what He wants. He wants us to feel it and understand that He loves us and that we're valuable. You know you're valuable no matter what other people think about you. You know you're valuable no matter about what your social status is. I mean, in this life, you're important if you're an artist, you're an actor, a politician, you're known, somebody. You know, you got money, like Musk, or these people, and you know that kind of stuff. They're not 1 ounce more valuable than you. You're as valuable as any of them. There is no social status of value in God's world. You have a great value to you. To understand that I have a value, not a pride, not a lifted up, but I'm valuable to my God. I'm valuable to the Creator that created me. I'm worth something. Well, how valuable do you think? Here's the deal. God puts value on our whole life, but He doesn't put the same value on this body, in this carnal life, that as He does the eternal side. These bodies shall perish, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. Though this outward man may give one advice in the scriptures over in Matthew, I don't know, about 13 or something maybe. One of the things was said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body. You know, you're supposed to fear him, Brother Mansell. What can they do to you? Destroy your body? It isn't that valuable. But fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul. Oh, that's valuable. That's where we ought to really put the Lord. Lord, help me in my soul. The Lord has such a great value to us in our lives. Scripture in, I'm sorry, that scripture was in Matthew 10. Matthew 13 is, in Matthew 13th chapter, 45th verse, when you're looking at the scripture, some of the parables of the scriptures, especially these scriptures that talk about, again, the kingdom of heaven is like, to really understand what the passage is talking about, you need to start with what the kingdom is like. So in this 45th verse, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. I want to say something. It's not like a pearl. This has been interpreted this way, and surely, if anybody would be the pearl of great price, it would be Jesus. But it's just not what the scripture is talking about. Jesus isn't the pearl of great price in this scripture. Because the kingdom of heaven isn't like a pearl, it's like a merchant man. Jesus is betrayed like a merchant man. Jesus is the merchant man now, who is seeking goodly pearls. And he finds one of great price. Do you know what the great price pearl is? It's you. In this parable of the kingdom, Jesus isn't the pearl. Jesus is the one that's looking for the pearl. And he finds the pearl. Do you know you are the pearl of great price to the Lord? You're not something to be destroyed, discarded. You're not something to be run down or put down. You're not something that the rest of society should look at it. When we look, Lord help us, but when we look at other people in their miserable situation, you know what we ought to see? Beyond the exteriors, beyond the culture, beyond the bad parts, you know what we ought to look and see? A pearl of great price. Jesus knows what he can do with humanity. Jesus knows what his sacrifice was given to. He knows what the grace of God is for. He is searching for goodly pearls. He's looking for the honest heart. He's looking for the one to change. Lord, help us. We might look across the street and see the neighbor who doesn't act just right. Or we might look and see, it happens right here in Greenbank. I see, if I may say this, and say it the right way, some unsavory characters walking up and down the road. Do you know they're a pearl of great price? Jesus is a merchant man. And he's looking to... Do you know Jesus didn't come to save righteous people? He come from the unsavory. He came for the ones that was lying, cheating, stealing. He came for the ones that had been wayward. He came for us, the humanity. He came for all of us. And he looks and he sees that, and he sees you not as someone that should ever get to the place of suicide, or get to the place of I'm not worth something, or maybe society has made you worthless. Christianity should never do this. I appreciate this. This story was told. I think it's okay to tell it. It's told about Brother Clifford Smith. I heard somebody tell this story. But anyway, he had went to India one time. I remember when he went. He went to India over there. And, you know, they're in caste system. And I think that he was kind of pushing the lines because he was going in. Thank God. It's just the way I do it too. Because there ain't no caste system. The pearl's a great price. They're valuable. Just because you have a social status somewhere, they have these castes and you've got these caste things. And there's nothing more higher in the caste system than a white man in India. You go over there, it's a white man. I go over there, man, I'd be king. I'd be up here in this high thing. You have the Brahmas, you have the white guy, Brahmas, you have all these things in this list, and you get down to the untouchables. When Brother Clint and Brother, they're getting ready to go again, but when they went to one of the other times, and Brother Dan went over there, they went to the villages of the untouchables. They went to the place that nobody goes. They went to see the people that nobody wanted to be around. They were below the lowest caste. These are untouchables. You don't go with these. These are the dirty, filthy, these are the awful people. And they went to them. Why? Because they're valuable. Because Jesus died for them and put a worth and value to them. Jesus is the merchant that goes around to find the pearl of great price. And it says when he found it, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. The merchant went around and he found, when he finds that one, oh, I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves you today. When the Lord sees that one person that has the honest heart, when he sees what he can do, and that, oh, he gave everything for that one pearl. Give it all. I think there's an analogy here that you can use about our lives and looking at, but we're not the merchant in this. The kingdom of heaven is like the merchant. We're not the merchant that goes around looking, and when we find the pearl, we give all to it. I think when we see something valuable, we should give all to it. It's a good analogy, but it's not this analogy. This analogy is that the merchant goes around when he finds the good pearl, when he finds the honest heart, when he finds something that he can do something with. He loves everybody. Everybody's the pearl. But when he finds one he can work with, Lord, help us to not dismiss on humanity. How much are you worth today? I want you to realize something today. I think there is a value in humbling, keeping ourselves humble. As Paul made the comment, I'm chief of sinners. I mean, he recognized that he was a murderer and that he had done all that stuff. I think it's good to look back to the pit from which he was hewn. I think it was good to look back to the sinful ways we were so that we would not want to be that way again and all those kind of things. I don't think we should ever diminish the value that Christ puts on us, because it's a stability to us. Realize this, that there is no greater love than God, than Christ dying for you. And what this means is that when you get, like, you feel like you're run down and you don't feel like you know where you're going or what you're doing, the God of the universe loves you. That'll help you. When you can put your whole confidence and everything on it, when you look and say, I feel like I'm going to be destroyed here in this, know that the God of the universe loves you. Know that you're as valuable as anybody that was ever put on the planet. God made special provisions for Moses. He made special provisions for Elijah and sent a raven to him. He made special provisions over the time for sin manna to the people. He made special provisions for his people that he loved over and over. And do you know, you're a pearl of great price to the Lord. So there's no way that he's forsaking you. He's not giving up on you. Your life isn't worthless. It isn't meaningless. It's valuable. It's valuable to the Lord who is going to bring you through. I believe this for God-fearing people that serve the Lord. I believe this. I believe that the Lord, I believe it's scripture, I believe it can prove it, that the Lord makes a path for each and every one of us. Your path's different than my path. You, every one of us has, and it is personally made. It's fit for you. God fits your life for you. I don't know what may be in your life or mine, but I believe that the Lord has a direction already made for me. I think He has a path for me. I think the Lord knows what I need in the future to keep me safe. If I want to be faithful, I don't have to be faithful, but if I'm going to be faithful, the Lord's got a path for me in my life for being faithful. We ask these questions sometimes as humans. Why wouldn't the Lord take Sister Purvis? Well, I ain't God. But I'll tell you, this is something about that situation. Sister Purvis is in the hands of the God that loves her more than anybody else could possibly. He knows the exact moment in time for the ultimate experience. You may get the privilege of leaving this world in your sleep. You may not suffer anything to do it. But would you rather in the will of God to suffer something and go out in victory than to not? The Lord loves us enough. You ever hear the old expression, this is going to hurt, you know, parents going to spank a child and says, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. I always questioned that. But I know what the statement is. But why would you do that? Why would you discipline? Why would you put... You know, it's another question that the world is fighting with now that's been proven to our minds years ago about how much liberty you ought to give these little children to just let them... Now, there's a real conversation about that now, and some of them saying is, you should not restrict them children. You should... Well, I say this. I thank God for those that do. Because even the Walmart's unpleasant if you don't. And that's just the truth. And most all the time when I see it like that, I'll say to my wife, when I see something like that, I'd say, that little three-year-old child is not to blame. That ain't their fault. I'll say this. God will look at us like children. And He ain't, I know my thoughts, He says. I know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts towards you isn't towards evil. I'm not trying to destroy you. I think you're a pearl. But you need polished. You have potential, but you just don't shine. It's not worth much. I mean, it doesn't have the value that it does. I'm gonna shine. You know how a pearl's made, how they say a pearl's made? The claim of a pearl is that a grain of sand gets into the clam, the oyster, whatever the deal is, the clam, and it's an irritant. And so it produces a substance to encase that irritant. And it grows and grows until it's a very valuable pearl caused by irritant, by an abrasion, by a roughness. Well, the Lord looks and sometimes and sees us and says, you need polished. But you're valuable. You're valuable to my cause. You're valuable to me. You're valuable, if nothing else, you individually. Jesus died for you individually. That's the kind of love that God has. You haven't done enough bad not to be loved by God. You haven't went too long not to be loved by God. You haven't went too far to be loved by God. You're still very valuable. Don't forget that. You're very valuable. You're worth enough for Christ to die for. That's very valuable. And thank God for His love and mercies. I've said this before, but in closing, I just want to say it again because the amount of times in my experience that it's kept me is more times than I can know that I've felt like I've failed. I felt like that things is coming in on me. I don't know what's going on. And the thing that has kept me over and over is that when I hear this small, still small voice that says that I love you, when I come to the realization, if Jesus died for me, he is not giving up on me. He is not letting me go. And the God that the place that I came to in my life, till I come to the Savior and said, Lord, I am sorry, and I repent of my sins, and I want to be saved. And that one that forgave me and saved me is the same one that I can go to now. It didn't change. You can still go to the Lord. There is a scripture that says, brethren, I would that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. The advocate is in a sense of a lawyer or a go-between. This is someone who kind of took the role of a priest. The priest was the bridge. The priest was the bridge between the people and God. You have an advocate. You got someone, not just someone, but you have an advocate that the Father listens to. Jesus can go and say about our lives, Father, let me dig about this one. He can go and say, when we go to the Lord, he can go and say, Father, I died for him. And that's accepted again. I thank God that the religion, if you will, that we believe in is based on love. Because of all things that can be shattered and destroyed, love can't. If God died, if I can believe that God loved me enough to die for me and has given his life for me, then I can believe through anything else. Don't allow failures. Don't allow difficulties. Don't allow sicknesses. Don't allow pain. Don't allow anything to come between this idea that you're valuable to God. No matter what else it is, you're valuable to God and he loves you today. You pray for me, I won't be faithful.